T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bobby Marks, the Front Office Insider for ESPN. Grizz taking on the Lakers tonight. Let's make Bobby the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Bobby, what's happening, man? Appreciate the time.
How are you guys?
Well, we're a little miffed, okay? Because it ain't like we just get to be on your network every other day. It's so it's a very rare occurrence. I know that's not your decision, trust me. But tonight, people are going to see the Grizzlies. And are they going to know that they're not getting the real Grizzlies? I mean, I feel like it's we got to make it clear. They're not going to be – whatever happens tonight, I'm hedging my bets here, but whatever happens tonight – this is not the real Memphis Grizzlies that they're going
to
see.
No, and you don't even get – you probably don't – I think he's out. You don't even get to see Desmond Bane, who I think he's out for personal reasons. I think his grandma passed away. But you don't even get to see him. And, of course, we haven't seen Jaren Jackson Jr. or Justice Winslow. Or it's kind of been a COVID injury-riddled season. But I think what you do – of course, you'll get to see probably Ja and this team that's kind of just stayed at 500. I know they've, had lost – a bunch of games before that Charlotte win, but they've just kind of hung in there, and I think that's kind of the slogan for this year. Just try to keep yourself at 500 until you get some reinforcements back. See if you can try to stay out of that play-in game, which is between 7 and 10, and we'll see. This Laker team's a little bit nicked up too. AD's been out for a little bit too, so it'll be interesting as far as what they put out there also.
If you're in that front office, Bobby, we put you in that position all the time. Is it as simple as, look, Jaren means so much to this franchise potentially. We are going to, if it's a scale of 1 to 10, we're going to be as cautious as possible. Is that the way you treat this thing? Is the way you have to treat it? Because Bobby, right, it's not win now, is it? It's not that's not necessary.
No, I don't think – I think there will be a time when you are – I don't want to say win now mode just because you've got you've got a nice base of young players, but I call kind of push your chips to the middle mode a little bit when you want to use that Utah pick or that Golden State pick you have in the future, maybe even one of your own picks or maybe one of these nice young players that you drafted and, you want to maybe cash in a Brandon Clark type to kind of, as I say, go big game hunting. I don't think they're not in the position there right now. I mean, they might be in the offseason. They might be next next season here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's the patience game here. I mean, it's the one thing you don't want to do is get Jaren back and then all of a sudden you're back to square one here, and that knee is suffered a setback. Same with Justice too. I mean, I wrote I have this trade guide coming out in a couple weeks here, and for Memphis, it's basically you're going to get two midseason additions, hopefully, with Jaren and Justice that are better than what you could get on the on the trade market here. Mm-hmm. So it is all about patience. I know Memphis fans don't want to hear it, but we still have they still got 52 games left in the season here, and there's still a long way to go.
On that point, right? Because we this is a franchise that has shown that it is not afraid to mix it up. It is not afraid to sort of make deals. We've seen that in the past. And sort of in that spirit, right, you look at a guy like, for example, Kyle Anderson, who I believe they got a couple of years ago on basically the mid-level, and he is playing better basketball than he has maybe ever in his career right now with the Grizzlies. He's become a three-point shooter somehow. That being the case, is it one of those deals with Kyle Anderson where he has more value to the Grizzlies than he would the open market?
Yeah, because his contract. I mean, as you said, you know, you got him on, you know, I believe it was an offer sheet. You know, he's right at the mid-level number here. And I think, you know, moving off that, it's like, who do you, it's like almost like selling a house, right? Like, you got the optimal market value. You can sell your house for $600,000, but God, can you go out and buy something what you just sold it for? You know, it's kind of like that, you know, taking it into that equation there. But yeah, I think there's an expiration date on every player here. I don't think there's, you know, it's based on where they are in contract, where they are in, you know, their upside in their career here. You know, with Kyle, he still has, I think, you know, a couple more years after here. So, you know, you're not at that time where you're probably looking to kind of cash in, you know, cash in value here, because for his production to equal his contract, his production on the court certainly exceeded, you know, what he earns.
From a front office perspective, what about a guy like Gorgie Jang? I'm not trying to get everybody up out of here, but I'm sort of looking at the balance sheet here. I mean, Gorgie is their highest paid player, right? And he's on an expiring contract. I mean, is there any way they get through a trade deadline with him still on the roster? I mean, I'm sure they're probably turning these conversations over right now. What would your expectation be on a guy like Gorgie Jang in that expiring contract?
Yeah, this trade season is different. I mean, because there are so many teams that are backed up against the hard cap, when you kind of eliminate teams like the Lakers and the Clippers and Milwaukee. There's certainly a lot of teams that have already, you know, traded out of their first round picks. I'm not saying that Gorgie is the return value is a first round pick, and where his contract is too, as far as, you know, trying to match out the number. Even like, I know I'm shifting gears, but like JJ Redick's on an expiring contract. There's no market.
Wow.
There's no trade market for him because of how much he earns, and teams are kind of waiting to see maybe does he get bought out here. So I do think there's a little bit of a when I wrote about this with the guys in San Antonio with DeMar and LaMarcus, Patty Mills, Rudy Gay, those guys are on expiring. A little bit of a flawed optic that we think that just because a guy's on an expiring contract that we have to move him. And I think what you can do is you just let it play out. You know, let it play out. Maybe there's a desire that you can get him back for $5 million next year, or maybe you do a sign and trade in the offseason and you look to, maybe it opens up the playing field a little bit more. But I think you certainly take calls on guys, but this is it's a challenging market right now just because of the where the finances are. You know, I think a lot of teams think they are in contention to get into the playoffs because we've expanded it to the play-in tournament now, so teams that would normally be sellers are probably just holding pat.
Bobby, I got to ask you, what do you think about the value they got in Bane, who, you know, started his first game?
Yeah.
I mean, that number 30 right there. What is he? One of the top 3-point shooters. I haven't looked today, but he'd been right there one or two in terms of 3-point shooting. What do you thought about the value they got in Bane?
The value they've gotten all their draft picks.
It's,
I mean, I wrote about it a month
story.
Ago. It's like, yeah, I mean, what Zach's been able to do there, and they've kind of cornered the market on these guys who've gone to school for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
You know, where teams always want to go out and find the next Giannis, a guy with upside. Maybe you can find an all NBA type player. Those guys are rare to find, but they've got out and, you know, with Ja and Brandon and Bane and Tillman, guys that have spent 3 to 4 years and that can come in and play right now. And maybe this is the best we're going to see of Desmond Bane. Maybe, but that's still pretty good compared to how you've kind of missed out on some of these draft prospects. But to get a guy to come in here at pick 30 and didn't really give up anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, kind of, you know, shooting north of 40%, one of the better rookies out there for the last pick in the last pick of the draft is as high a value as probably you can get.
I got to say, for this front office, from that standpoint, it feels like, Bobby, they really can't lose. I mean, like you said, there's going to come a time where it's time to push those chips in. But at this point, whether you're in the play-in for a chance to get to the playoffs, or you're fighting for an 8 seed or whatever it is, or you know, you end up with a 13 or 14 pick to that point that you just made about them drafting. You, if you're a fan of this franchise, you have to feel good about what they do with that draft pick based on what they've done with the results. It just really feels like, and I wonder if you agree, that, you know, in this year, you really there's no losing, only, I guess the only loss is, Bobby, is that if you don't get to see Justice Winslow, right? Or
yeah,
if from an injury standpoint, things don't pan out that way.
Yeah, and even that move, I know, and I was even a little critical of it last February at the deadline when you basically traded away cap flexibility to take a Colts. You had to take back Winslow, who was injured, but you had to take back that Waiters contract. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, and the only thing it costs you is flexibility and probably a bad contract that you might have gone out there and signed, and you went out and got, you wound up extending, Dylan Brooks there, and your flexibility went out the window already. So yeah. I think if you're a fan of this organization, and no, you're probably not up there where the two LA teams are in Denver and Utah
right.
there, but there'll be a time when you will. And I think it's almost like, you know, you're baking a cake, man. This thing's not cooked quite yet. Eventually,
exactly.
you get there. And if you're a fan and you watch this team, you should have confidence that this team's going to draft well. They're going to make shrewd trades. They're going to go out and get a DeAnthony Melton, you know, in a second round pick in a trade. And you can find those trimming around the edges type players. And as long as you kind of have a base, you know, core franchise level guy in Ja to just kind of build around, it's important. I mean, you look at what's going on in Dallas. I mean, Dallas, it's hard to have Luka and just role players, man. Like, it is, and then
yeah.
you got picks traded out, and then you're, you know, like, and then it gets to the point where that guy wants out. But I think if you're Memphis and where this organization is, I think you should be happy kind of, you know, and you got a heck of a coach where you are right now.
Yep.
We are, of course, talking to Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. We got a close look at him the other night. LaMelo Ball seems to be running away with Rookie of the Year. Do want to ask you this, Bobby, in terms of who you think will lead their franchise and their team to more victories and greater heights over the course of their career in the Eastern Conference. Who would you choose, LaMelo Ball or Trae Young?
That's a good question. You know what? I think LaMelo. I think LaMelo impacts winning more than Trey does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think guys, we'll see, down the road will want to go play with LaMelo Ball compared to Trey Young. I think, you know, of course, money speaks, and you can get Gallinari and Bogdanovic and Chris Dunn and Rondo when you've got, you know, $50 million to go out and spend. And I saw, you know, I had an upfront seat to see Jason Kidd in New Jersey. And, you know, I don't want to compare LaMelo to Jason Kidd, but Jason Kidd impacted winning. And he
yes.
made every guy around. And, yeah, do you want to see his turnovers cut down a little bit because they are high? But that's kind of what you get for him. So, yeah, I think if you ask me, I'd probably take LaMelo.
It feels like, and I don't know, maybe this is purely anecdotal from what we saw, you know, the other night with Trae Young, but it feels like this has sort of become part of his brand now, is complaining to the officials all the time, and he ended up getting fined. I mean, he was heated, and I didn't really see much. Is that something that you don't like to see as a front office guy, or is it just something that you know comes with the territory? I'm just curious, you know, when it comes to, you know, complaining to the officials, you know, how that sits with front offices.
I think it's more about, for me, it would be how good of a teammate he is in that locker room. Is he a selfish player? You know, is he, you know, his shots per attempt? I mean, this team's got a good roster, but, you know, you look at John Collins, and John's averaging the lowest field goal attempts in his career. How does he get others involved? I think the end of the game, what happened, and he got clipped a little bit, I probably wouldn't have called the foul. I think it's just kind of the heat of the moment type thing. But if you watch this Atlanta team, you know, this team wins games when Trae Young gets to the free throw line. I mean, it's just how it is. And that game, he got to the line six times. You know, when he gets to the line 13 to 15 times, they have pretty good success.
And then we're about most teams about a third of the way through, Bobby. Is there a team or a player that surprised you the most? And that could be positively or negatively. Maybe it's Dallas's struggles or that Utah team that's sitting on top of the West. Is there something that, just this season alone, that surprised you the most, individual or team-wise?
Well, probably the guy you had for a long time is probably how well Mike has played in Utah.
Mike Conley. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we don't analyze enough when a player gets traded, and especially a player that has spent his whole career in one organization, the adjustment it takes going to a new city and a new environment and a new system, that it maybe takes you another year, you know, besides of what, you know, for you to have an impact on the court here. And, you know, he's a little nicked up right now, but he has been playing at an all, you know, they potentially have three all-stars with him, Donovan, and Rudy, you know, and they've got the best record in the Western Conference. So I think probably how Mike has kind of, you know, rebounded a little bit and has played at that high level, and certainly that Jazz team is a good story. And I think what we forget is that, you know, that team was up 3-1 on Denver and was a, you know, Mike shot away from getting to a Western Conference Finals, and they're a 9-deep team, and they are a they're a heck of a team here. Can they beat L.A. or L.A.? I don't know, but they've got a chance.
Bobby, man, great stuff as always.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
We appreciate the time as always.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. He is Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESP, and thought his answer was interesting there on LaMelo over Trae Young.
I love the question. Sort of like what we asked Windhorst with Trae. Everybody doubts that Trae affects winning.
Yes.
He can come in and get all those points, assists, all that stuff. But does he affect winning in the way that you need to? Do his teammates, you know, not just like playing with him, right?
Yep.
But does it raise them all up?
Exactly.
That becomes the question.
Well,
and you've already had teammates questioning Trae in the way his approach.
That's not a question that you ask about Ja.
And it might, you know, it's still early on LaMelo, but I'm with you that you see it.
Yep.
And he's got that it factor that Zach's writing about Ja. Same thing to me with LaMelo, where you want to be great around him.
You ready for the dirty little secret that it's time for you to come to grips with?
Hey, and don't be loving on LaMelo too much. You're not supposed to like the ball players. Go ahead.
LaMelo is what you wanted Lonzo to be.
Maybe. How tall is Lonzo? Because LaMelo is listed in the NBA at 6'6".
I think.
How tall is Lonzo? 6'4"?
6'4", 6'5".
Okay, so let's say just physically he's not as blessed. That's off top just to
Lonzo
come
Lonzo is 6'6".
I was listening to that Woj pod.
Lonzo is 6'6", too? Mm-hmm. So they're both the same size.
Yeah.
Why does it feel like LaMelo is so much bigger and he clearly is more athletic?
He looks longer.
But he looks longer than Lonzo does. You nailed it.
Yeah.
I when I watched the two of them,
mm-hmm.
they're both listed. I went and looked on LaMelo. They list him at 6'6", not 6'7", so they're both basically the same size.
Yeah, I mean.
Lonzo plays more like 6'4". He doesn't play 6'6".
Well, that's a Lonzo problem.
Because he doesn't go dunk on people, whereas LaMelo doesn't care. He will. Now, it feels like he's a little bit more athletic, too, but
yep.
they both come from the same parents. I mean, it's not like he's got a ton more athleticism.
That's right.
If you get a chance, listen to
Mello's
this.
Melo's what I wanted Lonzo to be. Yeah.
Gordon Hayward was on the Woj pod talking about Melo, and he just raves about the kid.
He's like,
when I first saw him, the first thing that struck me was just how tall he is. That's what he said first.
Not to keep harping on this, but low rotor. When you can... And we've said it. We saw it. You mentioned it with Jay Crowder. When the vets recognize it off top, you
yep.
got something special with
yeah.
those rookies. Because you vets are not going to give those guys the benefit of the doubt that you have to earn it. And if you come through the door with that it factor, they're going to recognize it. Usually you can see it with LaMelo. You see it with Ja. I don't know if Trae Young's got it.
Yeah, it's a real concern. It's a real concern. Yeah. And
Trae puts up the points.
I thought it was a real liner. It was a bad look, the way he just totally bitched the ref the other night about a very, very, very iffy ticky-tack call is what it would have been.
Which they reviewed and said the call was fine.
Yeah.
That he was in
and
the
then
wrong.
He got fined $20,000 today right. for that outburst. I mean, that's just stuff you don't want to see.
But, I mean, Doncic does that too right now.
He does.
He's doing a lot of whining too.
And
right now you don't hear any of Doncic's teammates complain.
The Jason and John Show. Listen live weekdays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.